bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today.
Siestas are getting shorter and shorter, Will. It is episode 1765 of WDW Today. It's somewhere in the first quarter of the year, March 7th. It's Friday. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
It's not a Friday.
And of course,
It's Thursday.
Okay, it's Thursday. And of course, now, I think permanent cast member, because he was on the last episode we did, which was 3 months ago, our friend from the great state of Wisconsin. Yeah. You're here. Dylan Postel.
I'm Dylan Postel.
There he is.
I got one. I get to do it.
You can just do it from now on. I don't need this like co-host or like introduce you as a guest. Everyone knows you. Everyone loves you. Man, we're going to have some fun day. It has been a bit of a break. We were off for the last 3 months.
Bit is 3 weeks.
It was unintentional. Life got in the way.
I got incarcerated. I can no longer go to Walt Disney World ever.
Yeah, he trespassed. He was one of those guys swimming in the fountain.
Yes, and
but it was Christmas time.
I tried to go see my three dads, which are in Three Caballeros.
Oh,
those are my three dads up there.
I lost you there for a second. Oh man, well, welcome to WDW Today. We are gonna be doing my trip report from my Christmas trip. I think. We will discuss some things that we've done because I've been twice since we've done a show.
Yeah,
once for
you
a
had
day.
To bank some content, right?
And Terry just got back from the thing. And Dylan is WrestleMania season, so Dylan's in high demand. He's traveling all over. You're in Alabama tomorrow, right?
I'm in Alabama. God dang Pisgah, Alabama.
There you go.
Only a couple hours from here.
Yeah, it's not far.
But your daughter's having surgery.
My daughter's having surgery. I'd be down there. Maybe we can go. And Logan goes, your daughter's having surgery. I go, she'll be out of it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree fully.
Right.
What are you going to do at the hospital for her? Like, in all reality, if she has surgery, it's fine. Like,
it's outpatient. She'll be at home.
She'll be at home.
That would be me abandoning. I'll be abandoning my wife.
That
will be the only care.
How would your wife handle it?
It's not my daughter so much as my wife saying, you're driving to Alabama to see Dylan?
Yeah.
That's how she says your name.
No. She would never question me. She loves me.
Dylan?
And Terry, you're rocking a Savannah Banana shirt.
I am. Love me some.
Yeah, they're coming back, right?
They're coming back.
They were in Orlando. People were like, they were like $1,000 for a ticket. Something crazy.
A lot of times those are fake, too.
They had on our friend Tom and Dan, they had on the one of the guys from it, and he talked about how, people think it was really charged $35, but everyone thinks it's hundreds of dollars because on the secondary market, but there's nothing we can do about it.
And I had a friend, a neighbor, they took their son who's young, like four, to go see Savannah Bananas. They bought tickets online and they turned out being fake. And they got there and they said, we're so sorry, your tickets are fake. Come right this way. Like I know because you've worked with them and so much, but just their customer service and their commitment to making sure people have a good time is
try to not
Disney
ruin your night.
Needs to follow the Savannah Bananas rule.
Yeah. Hey Terry, would you say it's like Harlem Globetrotters level entertaining?
Oh, in fact, the Tampa paper called the Harlem Globetrotters the Savannah Bananas of baseball.
Basketball.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's terrible.
Really?
In fact, what's interesting is you brought that up about Disney. The tagline for the Savannah Bananas, like the whole company, in fact, the name of the company that owns the Savannah Bananas is Fans First Entertainment. And, one of the things that happened while we were gone is Universal kind of did the big reveal for
Epic Universe.
For Epic Universe. And whoever the guy was that was in the video, I don't know who he is. He mentioned four times in the video that we're going to listen to our fans. Our fans are telling us. Yeah. We've heard from our fans. And it's really, really interesting how, Disney used to kind of be known as that company that, like,
well, here's what I'll tell you. And this is an interesting point that you bring up, because it is that sort of situation of how much do you cater to the hardcore versus how much you cater to the sort of general public. I went to, which I haven't talked about it since then, I went to Jollywood Nights.
Oh, Jollywood Nights.
Jollywood Nights was the most fan focused event of Disney I've ever been to, in the sense of it was rare characters. It was a show. I mean, I went to a show at midnight that was hosted by, you know, Kermit and Miss Piggy, and they had Belle come out and sing a song from the Christmas VHS Beauty and the Beast. Like, it was as, like, leaning in on Disney hardcore fandom. You could meet Phineas and Ferb, you know, stuff that you couldn't do in normal days. And I thought they did a great job. But I saw so many stinking people complaining about that event, and I had a great time. I'd say if they do a Jollywood Nights again, I will 100% be there. I had an excellent time. But I do kind of wonder if that it's that balance of Universal maybe has to rely more on those fans, the hardcore that is going every day, that it, they have maybe, they've always had, even when we were kids, more of a local following because it was a little bit less expensive. We were teenagers. We could go to City Walk. It was a bit different, but I know more people probably locally that are Universal annual pass holders than I do that are Disney.
So. Definitely. Definitely. And that was, that's been the case for 25 years.
It's also a little bit more located
now
comfortably.
Universal's prices have gone up to be more comparable to Disney. Yeah. Not quite, but it used to be a chasm between the price of a day at Universal versus a day at Disney. And so that was also a factor, is if you're local, spending the money, the amount of money on even an annual pass, which is, and they also had that payment plan, which was great.
Yeah. Which Disney has implemented. If you're local, if you're a
Florida resident,
you can do that.
But, and there were also no blackout dates for locals.
They did a lot of perks. They did a lot of perks to get you,
get you in the door.
Yeah. I mean, at the time their top tier pass was like $250 a year. And it came with like free valet parking, 100 bottles of water. It was like, you know, all this crazy discount. They've done away with a lot of that kind of stuff. Free Halloween Horror Nights night. They still do that, I think, in their top tier pass. And now you have, you technically, I guess, if you consider Volcano Bay, their fourth park now, that will be opening probably within the year. I think they've said sometime 2025 it will be open.
Epic
Universe.
And what is Disney's competition? What is Disney's big move so far? If you stay on property in 2025, we're going to give you Typhoon Lagoon for free.
I mean, they really closed the fifth gate, which was the Star Cruiser. I firmly believe if they had marketed that as the fifth gate, just a very condensed park, maybe they could have made it last a little
longer. Now all the Star Cruiser stuff is showing up at the... It really is free. So it's free. If you stay in 2025, you get the water parks for free.
Which
tells you something.
Going to water parks. That's what they're
telling. Never went there. All of our trips, we've never went to the water park.
I went to Blizzard Beach with you when I was 10 years old.
That's insane. It's not like it's been recent. I mean,
it's been 30 years.
I probably haven't been since then. I think I remember we went on one trip as kids to Typhoon Lagoon, to River Country, and to later on to Blizzard Beach. But never as an adult have I gone. And here's the thing. My wife has made the statement recently. We're water park families.
Yeah.
We like a good water park. I'll be honest. It may be it may just be the country in us, but I love a water park. We like the Reunion Water Park. It's small. It's nice. Easy to get around when you're staying at the Airbnb. You can go there for free. And then we like sound waves here at Opryland. If you've been to a big indoor water park, which
I like a good indoor water park.
We went during the snowstorm, right after the snowstorm, had a great time. It was very hot in there, like 88 degrees, 89 degrees, maybe hotter. And it was brutal, but it was fun. We had a great time. But I haven't gone to those Disney water parks since I was a kid, and I don't really know why. Like, what is that hurdle? Now, for us, obviously, we have the one at Reunion, so it's free. But it's
probably time. Like, you just have so many limited days when you're there.
Yeah, that's what we always think. It's like, do we want to do a day or even a half day at a water park and not do a regular park?
Yeah,
that's always our argument.
Do you want to? Pick we always up bring a it up. Tube? Like, hey,
we should just do it, but we never do.
You got to carry a tube in the heat up a scaffolding.
There's nothing worse than standing in line with a tube.
Yeah.
Standing
in line, 100%.
There's nothing worse. There should be a better way.
Yeah, like a conveyor belt that just pops them out when you're up there. I don't know. Yeah. We've had that technology since 1919. Let's do this, folks.
Now, at Soundwaves, some of them, the biggest ones, have that.
Okay.
You load it onto a conveyor belt, and they give it to you at the top. But Not the ones that are the singles or the doubles. Those are
the
like
doubles are the worst because you don't carry them 2x2.
No,
Dad is stuck with carrying it.
Yeah,
bumping into everything.
Oh yeah,
bumping
into everything. I've knocked so many children off the top of a water ride. I have like 36 pending lawsuits in addition to my incarceration that I just got out of.
I can feel the plastic or the rubber like on my skin right now.
Oh yeah, it cuts
like,
into you.
Yeah, it's
bad.
All right, well,
you have that like anti-chafing.
I think we're telling each other why we're not going to these water parks right now.
Well, and that's the thing. Free next year. When I grew up, also, we would go to Wet n Wild and Watermania. Now abandoned, but
well, that's the home of Epic Universe.
Right,
Universe.
I know. So, but we would go to Wet n Wild and Watermania because living on the north side of town, that was about a half hour closer.
Yeah,
and they were the brands.
Yeah,
I love.
And
those.
They were a lot cheaper.
Oh man, oh, what?
$25. $25. You get to come back every day for the rest of your life.
$25 and free E. coli on the house.
Yeah, those were always fun. And then what Disney or what Universal's also done that Disney hasn't done, which I kind of appreciate maybe somewhat, but. Maybe not. Why do I care? is Universal has gone the like ultra discount route for hotels. So you can stay Vegas style at like the Endless Summer or some of these other hotels they have. I mean, you're talking $25, $35, $40 a night. Not $100, not $200. They are running crazy, crazy prices to
Do they have like a $50 Vegas style
buffet?
No, the $50 resort fee.
I think that they probably do have some sort of moderate resort fee, as they all do, but I think it is still significantly cheaper than even your cheapest Disney.
We need to get rid of frickin' resort fees. Let's just stop. The word resort fees fires me up so much.
Isn't there legislation? So there's like legislation to get rid of it in the state of Florida.
Are you talking about old Biden junk fees?
Yeah, that's what it is, junk fees.
Yeah, I think those are credit card fees, Logan.
No, I think that there is something in Florida law right now. They're trying to get rid of some of these. Maybe if it's just, they have to at least state them clearer.
I don't mind them if it's a hotel that is actually a resort. And I'm actually getting resort amenities. But like when the pool is like 12x12 and it's square shaped.
Yeah. And well, I'll be honest. At Airbnb, we do charge a $50 a night resort fee, but here's what it is. I'll tell you what it is. This is interesting. If you're booking a house, I have no choice in that. For reunion to allow me to rent my house, they take a $50 a night resort fee. Wow. With that, you get full access to the water park, to all of the amenities of all the private club
amenities.
You
get free HOA fees with that, then?
Do not.
Man, that's a.
So this is from December 31st, and it is about the junk fees battle that the president is waging war against. And it does mention how Biden's battle against resort and other junk fees could affect Las Vegas. So apparently that push is going after also resort fees as well. So,
well, when I go to Vegas and I make my wife go to the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion.
No.
The other guys don't know what we're talking
about. No, I do. I signed up for a year membership. A little bit more expensive than I thought.
Yeah, you know.
$500.
You guys are just firing me up on purpose today. You guys are just going to get me going real good.
No, and there are people in your industry that need help.
That's true. Well, that's number one. That's very true. I mean, let's not
nope,
pretend that's
not doing
true.
This today, guys. Well, not going to do it. We're going to have a good conversation.
We are. About Disney.
Good conversation between pals.
Speaking of Las Vegas and wrestlers.
I do have to. Well, it was, and it's funny because I texted a few people, and some will remain nameless because I think they would probably be bad for. I won't even say who I texted, but I was like, hey, there's this. Man and I may be going to Las Vegas this week, and during it is this gala where they're like giving Sting an award, the Cauliflower Alley Banquet. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, that sounds like a blast. And my wife, she likes a nice gala.
Right.
A nice banquet.
Two birds.
And by the way, Cauliflower Alley Club, I may be coming. I may be buying those tickets. So don't think that me joking around about this means I'm not coming. But I texted one of my friends who I know had been before. I was like, hey, do you think, would Amanda kill me or would she really enjoy this gala? And I just got texted by and said, she'll kill you dead. and then I watched it. It's like, go into a Q&A with wrestlers, like which Will loves, just like, I'm going to tell you some stories.
Arguably, my least favorite thing on the planet is any form of Q&A, but add septuagenarian wrestlers to it. And
that work? What does that mean? Over 80?
They're in their 70s. Yeah.
When they're like, here's Fireball Tommy Rich.
This one time, we were drinking handles of vodka. I don't remember a dadgum thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's Vinnie Mac.
Okay.
That story ends poorly for those of you at home.
I will say, I was just looking at my pictures for you.
Dylan is so frustrated. I know. He's got the head cocked to the side. He is not happy.
We're moving on.
The fact that he refers to it as a gala. I love the Cauliflower Alley Club. Yeah. I'm a supporter of it. I think it's a great thing. But for him to go, oh man, it's essentially like you saying, I'm going to take my wife to a second prom. Would that in Vegas? In your no, it's not that. It's not. It's WrestleCon in Vegas.
Yeah. When I heard gala or banquet, I was like, oh, this could be a nice. And it's where they Biff's in Back to the Future.
Yeah,
like, so it's that downtown in Fremont Street. So I thought that's. Oh,
so they only went no expenses spared for this gala. No,
I tried to get you twice to go to Vegas to see the greatest band in the rock in the world.
Hey, once was I both I had no choice. I wanted to
Creed?
Be there. To see Creed
playing Vegas?
Yeah, Creed at the Sphere. Honestly, they could probably do it right now. They're selling out everywhere.
Thank you, Hire.
A quick Disney note. I was looking at sort of my pictures back from December, and I'll try to bring us back on track here. Back from December to look at things that I had done that were different. And I also went in January during the Royal Rumble. I went the day before we stayed in Orlando and drove over. Highly do not recommend that. If you're going to anything sold out in this Tampa St. Pete area, mainly in specifically Tropicana Field, which may be the worst stadium I've ever been to in my life. It is so bad. And they were not prepared for 75,000 people to show up or whatever it was to this. They had one way in, one way out. It's about 50 miles from my house, the Airbnb, to that stadium. The show ended at 11, and we did not get home till well after 2, almost 3 in the morning. Two of those hours was just getting out of parking. We didn't move. So don't recommend that. We did, though, but it was a great time. The Rumble was fun. But I did do a couple new things that I think we should talk about. Or not new, but maybe even stuff I had not done recently. My son, the day after the Royal Rumble, was like, before we leave, because we were leaving that afternoon, he's like, I want Mickey waffles. So I was like, all right. Let's figure this out. First, I found one place, Rick's. There's Rick's in Saratoga or something like that. What are you talking about? No?
Everyone's Rick's. I know. Very, very different. It does not serve Mickey waffles.
not Dylan's Rick's.
You're thinking about Rick's in the sports bar in Coronado Springs?
Okay, yes. You got me. I didn't go there.
Yeah.
But they have chicken finger stuffed Mickey waffles, which are apparently great. I showed it to my son. He was like, hard pass. That sounds disgusting. Which I was a little disappointed because Rick's, R-I-X, by the way.
Yeah.
Sports bar and grill.
I think actually Dylan was right.
I don't think
that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. They have 30. Okay, this is my favorite. I don't know much about Rick's in Coronado Springs, but this is the least and best Disney description of a restaurant.
Let's hear it.
Offering 31 state-of-the-art TVs.
I love that they arrived at 31.
31.
Not an even number. Not 30.
Not over 30.
No.
Offering 31 state-of-the-art TVs to view nightly sporting events, this upscale lounge provides a perfect spot to unwind, chat with fellow sports fans. Reservations are accepted on most nights. Enjoy handcrafted cocktails, local draft beers, and a unique spin on classic sports.
And here's
sports
the reality.
Fan.
They're probably not state-of-the-art. They're probably like RCA Plasma.
They've been in there for
1997.
They've been
Coronado.
In there for a long time. But you know what? They have that. they have those stuffed waffles. But instead, we went to the Minnie Mouse, which, again, me and my son went to the Minnie Mouse breakfast at the Beach Club.
Oh, Beach Blanket Buffet.
Beach Blanket Buffet. That's it.
That's fantastic.
Had not done it in maybe ever. And it was great. It was really easy to get in and out of. It wasn't terribly expensive.
No.
You see, it's everyone but Mickey.
This has been a pro tip of Terry's for a solid decade at this point.
Though. Well, I always felt weird going to this
he
one.
He has told us to go to the Beach Blanket Buffet countless times on this program.
And also probably at dinner time, some of the best fried shrimp that I've ever had.
That's wild. I have not been to it except for at breakfast. We had a really good time. It was really fast. It was the fastest character dining, which I guess you could say is good or bad because you don't sit around a lot and wait for the next character. It's not all that big.
Well, because its location in particular makes it really easy to go before you either are going to Hollywood Studios or Epcot, because you can just hop on the boat and
it's Meet Minnie's Beach Bash.
Tell them about your friends, though.
Oh yeah, so I started texting y'all about this because look, I have no problem with adults, Terry included, or single people going to a character breakfast. I do have a problem with a couple fighting during a character breakfast with no children. It was maybe the funniest thing my son and I have experienced. We were sitting there, you know, my son and I are just hanging out, and there's this couple that are, they're over it.
Like, man. Is it the only reservation they could get?
And
like,
it is. Now, that being said, it's probably the easiest to get
right
character meal. I feel like it's pretty much readily available. Especially not during peak times. It's pretty big and it's open. They do the breakfast till like 11. So I'd have to refresh my memory exactly, but I know the characters were going around, and finally Donald Duck approaches this family, or this family, not family,
a couple,
who at this point have just resulted to being on their phones and not talking to each other. And Donald like tries to get their attention, and they're on their phones, and eventually Donald's like, what am I doing here? And the guy just looks up and goes, we're not interested. And Donald, the actor, backs up, does like the whole like, whoa, and like, then turned around to us and we're like, we'll take a picture. He's like, all right. And it came over. And I was like, man, if you're being rude to the don't want to spoil the magic for your children, but young person likely in this costume, sweating their butts off to entertain you during your breakfast, of which you paid a premium to be at, you know, give me a break. And the fact that they were fighting during character breakfast, just to me, it's just...
How could anyone fight during a character breakfast?
It's just hilarious. It's just hilarious. But it was a fun time. And during... I saw someone who was solo, and like the characters would like sit down and have like... I mean, they can't talk, but they'd spend a moment. They don't do that. They do nothing. And I took some pretty cool pictures, and they're in their beach outfits. It was fun. Another place to go to eat. If you have a car, but still on Disney property, I would highly encourage you to go, and you may have seen it now because I feel like the influencers have taken it over, Simply Capri, which is an Italian restaurant in Flamingo Crossing, which is technically Disney property. It's not technically, it is Disney property. It's where the cast members, a lot of them work, or a lot of them live. It's by that new Target and all that that's back there.
Well, and when you say cast members, it's where Disney has moved their college program.
They have their housing. Yeah. They have housing. So you see everyone in there like going to work. You know, they're in their uniforms, crossing the road, walking around. But they Simply Capri is a new Italian restaurant. It's probably been open now 4 or 5 months. It opened towards the end of last year. That is owned and operated by the same people who are owning and operating.
It's Patina Group.
It's
isn't
Patina
it?
Group. Yeah. The Italian restaurant and many of the other restaurants that are in Disney World, but Epcot maybe specifically. And most of the staff is Italian. Most of them work also in the Italy Pavilion. And most of the clientele was Italian.
Oh.
And when I spoke with some of the people who run it, they were like, yes, we decided to open this not just for tourists, because it's not really a tourist spot, but for people kind of looking for that sort of taste of home. It's a little more, maybe a little more authentic than what you're going to get in
the more authentica.
And maybe just in terms of, not that the Italian food that is in Disney or in Epcot isn't, but this is like one step more towards real authentic Italian food. But still, it's very kid-friendly. It's very fresh. The ingredients were great. It's light. It's airy. I would highly encourage it. We loved this. We were like, we are going to go back probably every time because it was such a great experience for the kids and for us. They take reservations. I think they only take reservations up to a certain amount. It's a pretty small restaurant. But it was really good. And again, if you have access to a car, even you can Uber there probably for very little money if you're staying on Disney property. And take a look at it. Simply Capri. I just wanted to give that tip. And my kids liked that on the kids menu, you could just have, or the kids menu. Oh, that was something cool for the kids. If you have kids, it was a set price of like, I don't remember exactly the price, but it was pretty like reasonable. And it was a prefix deal, kind of like a Disney.
What's it called again? Capri?
Simply Capri.
Simply Capri.
And my kids liked that they could get mozzarella sticks as the kids' appetizer. I don't know why they were like, that's awesome. They each got their own mozzarella sticks and then pizzas and pastas and stuff and mocktails for the kids. They love that.
Well, Shirley Temple.
Oh, no, they got like a whole menu.
Oh.
Simply Madras, Cherry Blossom, Florida Sunset.
What's
a
Simply Madras? Tell me about
cranberry this. Cranberry juice, freshly squeezed orange, lime, agave, and ginger ale.
I drink that.
Yeah. So I encourage you to go there. I think that it's a worthwhile trip. It's fairly, you know, good priced. It is on Disney property, so it's right there. And the food was great. So I don't even remember what I had, but I just remember it was awesome. So that's it. That's my tip there.
Pro tip.
I say go to Simply Capri. Go to Jollywood Nights if it comes back. We'll see if it does.
I think these nights, like they just had the Disney Channel or Disney mm-hmm. Afternoon Night the other night.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be more and more. I don't know. You guys are more insiders, obviously, than me. Yeah, I think they're going to be more and more. But my worry is that they're going to be that the tickets sold, they're not going to be private enough. So like when you the issues you run into with the Christmas parties of the Jack Skellington, the 5-hour, you know, meet and greet line and that kind of thing. That's like you're essentially paying for that meet and greet, which it bums me out, but I get it. But I think I would love to see more theme nights like that. Like a more of the Disney Channel and Disney Afternoon and maybe an 80s night or a night, that kind of thing.
I think that there will be more. And this, I never done one of the after hours ones. And this one was essentially an after hours. It ran from 9 to 1 in the morning or something like that. It was not very long, maybe 3 or 4 hours. When it comes to doing rides, everything was a walk on except for Slinky Dog. And that took 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And for Slinky Dog, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
And you got a...
That's a walk-on.
And pretty much everyone got a virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance.
Nice.
So you didn't have to go wait in Rise of the Resistance. And when you got called, there was... Because everyone was virtual queue, I think. There was no one in line. It was... You just walked right in.
Nice.
So if you were actually going for the rides, which we did because we had our family with us, our extended family, we did about... I'd say we did some of the... Like the Christmas show we did, and we watched some of the snowing on Hollywood Boulevard, the projection shows, but we didn't get to do everything. The one thing that was a total not worth it, and everyone's freaking out, was they were turning the Hollywood Brown Derby into a jazz club that you had to like go get in line for it. Like Dylan said, kind of like the Jack Skellington thing. And all it was a dude on piano.
Yeah.
It was a guy on piano and a cocktail menu.
And there was like a jazz band that was at the base of.
Oh, I saw that too. As we walked past
there,
them. There was a almost spooky Christmas band that played. But I would now going to one of those after hours things. If I wasn't an annual pass holder, I'd say it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
As an annual pass holder, it's a little harder to justify the.
Because it's extra money.
It's an extra $100 per person. I mean, they're not cheap.
So since we've been celebrating Will's incarceration.
Yes.
Well, my release from incarceration. to be clear, not currently incarcerated.
There hasn't... Look, we were joking earlier today. There hasn't been a lot of things that Disney's done. There hasn't been a lot of Disney news. And so I was just looking through the news. And actually, just yesterday, there was some breaking news about... now, you guys probably are going to make fun of that. I'm going to talk about this, but... Sanaa, which is one of my favorite Disney restaurants.
I've never heard you speak of it.
actually have come out. I think will be a big deal if you have kids.
Okay.
They've come out with some themed desserts, and they're super super fun.
Okay.
So they're all themed like to the animals. There's a mousse that's got like giraffe prints on it. That actually looks really good. There's only one of these that's like, oh, that's probably not going to be good.
Can you give me what they are? Do you know what they are?
I don't know
the bad one.
Wildebeest, Wild Beast, which is a flourless chocolate cake with milk chocolate and crusted chocolate fudge and roasted cocoa nibs. Check that out. I mean, it looks...
Oh, that looks fun.
I would eat
the heck out of that.
Okay, so people who are just listening, which is most of you, it looks like a wildebeest.
Yeah, and then there's...
It's got antlers. What's that one?
That's a giraffe.
Yeah.
So they're all super well themed. Now, there's one that's Ankoli cattle themed with the big horns. The only one that I think will, which may send Will into a tizzy.
Well, most things do.
Turds.
It's called.
may send me into prison again.
Is Timon Grubs?
Okay.
Are they like bugs?
It's a bugs themed.
You know, but, it's not so much that it's bugs. It's that it looks like the other two were high art, but that one looks like they phoned it in.
Let me see. Turn
like
it around.
You went to the dadgum, like Cold Stone, and they did the the Oreo crumbs and gummy worms. Like, well, come on, make it a little bit better.
It's the kids' dessert. It is a new dessert for kids. It's a banana pastry cream, whipped cream with sliced bananas, graham crackers, gummy worms, and chocolate rocks.
That sounds fun.
No.
I mean, I like Sanaa. I actually think even, is it the most kid-friendly? No. But do they take care of your kids? Yeah, they have options. But the kids love going because the animals. I mean, it's always fun. So it's one of those ones that you I actually think is worth it because if you if a non-park day, it still kind of has a feeling like you did without having to pay the price.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay the price to go to a park, but you can go look at the animals, have a good meal. It feels fun and different and themed out. In a, you know, like a rainforest cafe, but with real animals.
With real animals.
Which I went to the rainforest cafe a couple weeks ago. Not even a couple weeks ago. I went there maybe about a week ago. I took my my nephew who had never been.
You know why I like rainforest cafe better than Animal Kingdom?
Why?
Guaranteed to see animals.
Yeah, true.
They're not real, but you're guaranteed to see them. Like, you can go find the gorilla.
Yeah, it may not be moving.
They're broken.
But got a wonky eye.
You know where it is.
Old wonky-eyed gorilla.
They should move the Yeti from Expedition Everest
to the
Rainforest Cafe.
Then it would actually work.
Probably.
So
they got better tech.
I went to it, and here's what I'll say. I went to the one here at Opryland, and it is the 30th anniversary of Rainforest Cafe, which they're not celebrating too much. They have a specialty cake that looks like a non-professional photographer took a picture of.
Yeah, it just looks disgusting.
It looks pretty bad, and I'm a fan. It looks pretty bad.
It's like the leftover from Publix. Like at the end of the day, the one that didn't sell, Rainforest Cafe is like, let's photograph that one and sell it.
They had a 30th anniversary shirt, but it only says it on the inside.
Wait, what do you mean? Like,
like the tag.
The tag says 30th anniversary. The front still got that old tree frog.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the frog with all of the had all the other mascots. It was actually kind of an interesting design inside the frog.
What's his name?
Cha-Cha.
Yeah, I knew you'd know.
I wish Bart Scott was here. He knows all their names.
My question is, does the Cheetorita come with a sparkler in it, something of pomp and circumstance?
No, I don't think so.
It should.
Well, the guy who is our safari guide,
you can say waiter. I won't hold it against you.
He was our safari guide. He wasn't thrilled.
That they're celebrating anything?
Well, he was pretty pumped to be there and have a job, I think. I was excited, but it took a long time. It took an hour and a half to eat there. And he
was it full?
As it should.
No, it was not full. It was not full.
They and had to I'd go. Say,
he
roast
told me
the
they've
Mojo
added
bones.
Like 10 new things to the menu, and they've upped their quality of food.
I doubt that.
It was better.
Nah.
He did also though. He walked up. He gave the kids the menus, and I guess they were out of like the character cups.
Oh.
And the kids were like, oh, and he's like, yeah. You think if a kid's restaurant, we'd have the character cups. But
we haven't
in 5 months. It's like, oh.
Oh, no. Oh, so no. Rainforest Cafe is chapter 11.
Well, I mean, there's not many left. I mean, if we'd like to open one, I think franchises are available.
We don't, Logan. We don't.
I do.
No, I think
only
a great idea.
Market.
I support this Logan idea. I think it's going to be a great idea.
Can we put it in the old Miller's Ale House and just went out?
Well. Yeah, well.
I'm not going to be a silent partner. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Logan.
I'm going to get a Perkins open in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We're bringing it back.
24/7. There is one. It's right by my house.
Dylan, you've never been silent on anything.
Can you ask him if I could?
You be a silent partner.
I would go into that Perkins and be like, do you need an investor? Because I would just like to say, I own 5% of this Perkins in Wisconsin.
It's in Oshkosh. Yeah.
And Dylan eats for free already, so it's fine.
It's legitimately, I can throw a ball and hit Perkins.
We don't have to.
Well,
here.
You are the king of Oshkosh.
Essentially the mayor of Oshkosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Emeritus. Mayor Emeritus.
Emeritus. I was once.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
We don't have Perkins here, but I get an ad served to me every day that's like, you sure you don't want to open one? And every time, it gives me a big number. It's like, you could make $3 million. Gross.
Right.
And part
doesn't
of it is like,
seem like
how
enough.
Much money do I have to... It's open almost all... It doesn't close.
Yeah, that's a lot. Your net can't be great if you're only grossing $3 million for a 24/7
how
restaurant.
How many peanut butter pies can you sell?
Not 24/7 anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, see, that's...
COVID did that.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
No, the only people...
I met Billy Gunn at 5 a.m. at a Perkins, and I was probably 14, 15. He did not acknowledge that I was there, but he did sign me an autograph, and that's when I learned. Billy Gunn, scarily gigantic.
He
and I was around him last week, and I still was like, this guy is way bigger than me.
Billy Gunn's daughter, I believe, used to go to a youth group at my church in Florida, and he had a giant lifted F-150, solid black, and the license plate was Mr. AZZ. And so pull it out of the Baptist church in Central Florida was Mr. Az on Wednesday nights.
That's the best.
It was great.
Oh, I wish you could see Dylan's face. He's
I got nothing on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think they let you do that anymore. Maybe in Florida.
What, like have like slight profanities?
Yeah, they like reject them now.
Yeah, not then.
Not then. He's like, do you know who I am?
You're like, this is the Attitude
Era. B.A. Billy Gunn.
Like, this is the Attitude Era.
In Central Florida. Yeah. Like, there is not a more Attitude Era place than Wakiva Springs, Florida.
Oh, it still
is circa Attitude Era.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what he was doing at that Perkins, because it was not
it wasn't nearby.
It was in. It you was probably by Full Sail.
You probably don't want to know.
Because at Full Sail, later on we'll have the WWE, but not then. All right, let's, I don't know how we got here. I don't know where we are. I don't know who I am.
Rainforest Cafe.
Right. Rainforest Cafe. That's where I was, which is, I thought the food was pretty good. I don't know. I can't say that's true nationwide, but it was better because he said, the guy was leading me through the new menu items. And he's like, we got this new pasta and all this. He goes, but don't you sleep on that. Don't you sleep on that Blue Mountain chicken sandwich.
Sleep on it.
And I ordered it because I was like, well, he told me not to sleep on
it. Was it just a generic chicken sandwich?
You know, it was a little bit. There was like a special sauce. Okay. It was on like a special bread.
What made it Blue Mountain?
Is that like their signature dish? Like,
I don't know if that's what they're known for.
Unless you're Chick-fil-A, I don't think a chicken sandwich can be your signature dish.
They've had it forever, but it is on the bottom of the menu.
Don't you
not even like
that.
A special feature section.
Here's a Facebook post from January 2017. Yes, our Blue Mountain chicken sandwich is as good as it looks.
Don't sleep on it.
Don't sleep on it.
Let me see how good it looks.
It's like a chicken basic, pretty.
Doesn't look that great,
besides
to be honest
Bart
with
Scott,
you.
Does anybody go to.
This looks like a Wendy's.
Go there looking for, like, thinking they're going to have a great, like.
Even he's come around to going, you know what? I like that you can have one meal that has steak, shrimp, and ribs in one, like that's an option. The triple decker, whatever they call it. That's
Tour of Italy is what I've heard.
It's like the tour of America right there. Yeah. Coconut shrimp.
Tour of Georgia.
It's basically a chili with chilies with animatronics.
I was gonna call it an animatronic Applebee's. That's what I was gonna call it.
Yeah, that's I like the alliteration there. Yeah.
We don't even have Applebee's anymore. Terry called me crying when the Applebee's closed.
Yeah. Literally crying?
No. Terry crying?
No,
not at all.
I feel like when the Fridays closed, you were pretty upset about the Fridays.
Oh, dude, I remember that.
I knew it. I was doing one of them.
Fridays felt like, because when we first moved here.
It was like it.
It was like it. That was the only restaurant you could go to. And it felt like, I don't know, like, I grew up in D.C., so our restaurant like that was Bennigan's.
Yeah.
That was our go-to, like, that was where we went. And so, but Fridays just felt like it felt like a friend that had been around a long time that had come upon hard times.
Yeah. Now what is, it's like a bank or something, right?
Yeah, I think it's a Chase.
It's a Chase bank. Yeah. They opened up a new Dunkin' next door.
Hey, you know that Friday's surprisingly good bar program. They're flair bartenders.
What are you talking about here?
At TGI
Fridays.
Oh,
to work there?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you think of it as being like an Applebee's where it's just kind of like, meh. But they have rigorous standards to become a bartender at TGI
Fridays.
Right,
they're out of business.
But, right. I mean, could be. It could be like they had to pay them too much or something. But then I know a lot of people that go on to win like bartending championships and things like that. They actually started at TGI Fridays because it's not just like, here, learn this recipe. You actually learn bartending skills and things. Dylan's face. He's like, not Noshkosh. They got the soda gun and a free pour. Like,
they do have a certain level of skills.
I didn't know Will Haynes was up on the bartending Olympics over here.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
At Fridays.
I don't know if you know this. I have a whiskey podcast.
Yeah. Will Haynes is the bartending.
You've
Olympics.
Been on it. You may not remember, but you have been.
You've never been in a private suite in a arena with Will Haynes, like when there's no bartender in there, and Will Haynes is like, don't worry, I got this.
I'm making magic.
I'm making old fashions with little, you know.
It's sugar packets.
Little gnomes are coming out of the corner.
I happen to have oranges with me.
He's got bitters. He brought bitters to the arena.
He's a juggler. I don't know. Again, this is Rainforest Cafe.
Will Haynes with
Fridays
Flair
is closed. I once ate at a TGI Fridays in Moscow, so that's something.
I went to a TGI Fridays in London with you.
There you go. I've been on a lot of. You know what? I like potato skins.
I don't know if I like TGI Fridays at all, but I've eaten it way too many to not love it.
No. Love it. Love Fridays. Love TGI Fridays.
Yeah. If they want to sponsor, you know, hop on board.
Yep.
We'll be Fridays for life.
And speaking of the Bourbon Podcast, they were the ones that introduced us all to Jack Daniels as a food group.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
That's true.
Yeah, because they had the whole Jack Daniels like barbecue. Like they were the first people to do like you could get like Jack Daniels ribs there.
TGI Fridays.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying the podcast. I didn't understand.
No, we didn't introduce people as. I mean, we just said it's a liquid diet.
Yeah.
But
they just said they didn't know Jack.
SeaWorld used to do that beers and barbecue. That's what I used to go to that every year. Remember that? They have great bands would play. Now they have even better bands. They have like weirdly great music at SeaWorld, by the way.
SeaWorld does have quite a musical lineup.
SeaWorld's concert 2024 lineup, which maybe just means my taste in music is now the people who perform at SeaWorld. But you had this year. I mean, this weekend is the Goo Goo Dolls.
Wow. Dizzy Up the Girl.
Hanson played last week. Al City, Hoobastank. Oh. Gavin DeGraw, Jason Derulo. Ludacris, Reliant K. All for One, which is weird. A Warrant. I don't know. This is
odd.
Oh, the Righteous Brothers. Speaking of bands of that era, I need to tell Dylan and Terry what happened to me taking my daughter to school yesterday.
Okay, yeah. This is probably a good place to start our to
wrap
down.
Up. Yeah. So we're going.
Guys, what's the title of this episode going to be? Because we've really covered zero besides Sanaa about Disney.
Hey, that's I said Simply
we
Capri.
Talked about you know, Simply Capri. Capri.
I talked about
Bollywood Nights.
Bollywood Nights.
Bollywood Nights.
We talked about Mickey's Beach Bay Barbecue or something.
Bollywood Nights, totally different. I want to go to Disney's Bollywood Nights.
Oh, it'd be great.
Have they done a movie based in India?
Not yet.
So can we pitch it?
So I'm taking my daughter to school yesterday morning, and she's in kindergarten, mind you, in the year of our Lord 2024. And she says, "Hey, Dad, can I listen to the North Carolina song?" And I said,
"Oh, no."
And I go,
"Oh, no."
I go, "Adeline, I don't know that song. I'm thinking some like Blippi song or Danny Go." I'm like, "I don't know the North Carolina song." She goes, "Yeah, you know, you take your shirt off, spin around your head like a helicopter." I go, "Yeah, we can listen to that." And so we did. We listened to Petey Pablo at 7:30 in the morning on
a good day.
I know. What am I talking about? 7:30. It was like 6:45. But yeah. I turned it down for the Who Am I Petey Pob part.
Is that in the same song?
It is, yeah.
Okay, I just want you. There's one.
Even the edited version is too much.
Not edited enough?
Yeah. And then today she wanted it again, and so I played it again, and she goes, "I'm going to tell my teacher about this song." I said, "Please don't."
For the love of God.
Because she loves to dance.
And then you texted your sister.
Texted my sister.
Who is, what, 42?
She's 4 years older than me.
42.
So she was in her freshman year in college. Was the year that this song came out. And I sent it to my sisters. I said, "This is what happened." My older sister, who I thought may not know it, thought it was hilarious. And my other sister's like, "That's so funny. I don't know that song, though." And I said, "There's no way you don't know the song. You were in college when this came out." I said, "Go look up Raise Up by Petey Pablo right now." She played it. "Nope, never heard this before in my life." And I go, "There's no way you've never heard it." She started going around her office asking everyone, "Have you heard this song?" Like, "How do you not know this song? It was arguably the biggest song in the world at one time." And I said, "They even did a 9/11 tribute version." USA, Raise Up. You don't know that one?
No.
Oh, there's the alternate version after 9/11. He did, "USA, come on and raise up. Take a flag. Spin it around your head. Spin like a helicopter."
I don't think he was being bad with the flag. I feel like
It was a patriotic anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't pro 9/11. It was more a 9/12 version.
I don't know if I consider this a patriotic anthem.
I mean,
In Virginia Beach, Virginia, it was everywhere.
It was everywhere. And it had that one, he called out like every branch of the Air Force, started naming military bases. At one point, there's a line that's like, "You know Bin Laden? Got a lot of people looking for him."
Oh, man. It was a better time.
He said, "We got a rep well, okay, here's our a, country.
Here's a Disney thing to end it with. This just hit eBay. As you know, I'm a big collector.
Oh, I like this.
an animatronic from the Great Movie Ride.
Oh, I just saw that.
Has just hit eBay. 23 people have watched. It's going for 13,000 big ones.
Which animatronic?
It's generic scary skeleton, and that's sort of my problem from the Indiana Jones scene. It is a little too traumatic to have in my home, which is unfortunate. I honestly would consider a pretty big number if it was like something that was like it was a Wizard of Oz.
Like one of the
You didn't want to say it. One of the Munchkins in the Wizard of Oz. It,
Terry. Terry, you can say it. One of my people, Terry. We caught him. Will? Logan, we caught him. Clip it, as the kids say. Clip that. We caught him. We got him.
Cancel Terry. Cancel it.
Of that.
I can see it processing in your head.
You know what I was thinking back to? I just interviewed Dylan for my podcast, Making Elephants Fly Podcast, and that's coming out in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited. And we went there right away.
You say midget. Terry won't say Munchkin.
That was the best moment in the history of this podcast.
From the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Not quite the not as tall people. Not like the Iron Guy, or not like the Big Cat, or the guy with corn grown out of him. No, none of them. The shorter people.
You know, the Lollipop Guild.
I have to say, if they
do a little dance where they turn their legs and arms to the side. You know.
If they did sell one of those, I would.
I'm not gonna say the name of the land, but they got that land.
It's my favorite thing ever. They got that land. I don't think we could go any better. But you could. This is the best.
Welcome to our permanent member, Dylan.
Yes, exactly. That was unbelievable.
What would you? Let's go. Let's sidebar real quick on that though. I was just thinking about that. What is a prop? Let's not go crazy like the 101, but what is a prop or a ride vehicle or something that's retired from Disney that you guys would pay a decent amount of money for?
Yeah. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, yeah, the like entire ride.
You buy a car. Yeah. It was 10 grand.
I mean, I probably would. I would turn it into a desk.
Like,
in my office.
I feel like that's the line, like 10.
10 grand's a solid.
Beyond 10 is too much.
Splash Mountain log is mine.
Yeah.
And without, that was like,
with Brer Rabbit, not soldered off like it is now.
And you could have done that like 15 years ago. Like you could have gotten ride vehicles for under 10. Now they're...
There is stuff changing in that. I have to say, if you're a Disney collector, it's a big dip right now in the collecting world.
Here's a rocket for 11 grand.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a
Mr. Toad, 17,500. Way out of my price.
Well, I mean, but not as insane as it once was. So, our friend, I was like, shout him out, Jeff Bam from Mousetalgia. He actually just put up a tiki bird that he had up for auction at Van Eaton. And there is thoughts within this community. He posted about this publicly. I'm not like spreading secrets that they have overdone these auctions to where collectors that were maybe in my range that could afford a decent amount but would not pay extreme dollars had stopped even looking.
Yeah.
Because we had just been we've lost every time. And we lose to John Stamos every time.
John Stamos and Neil Patrick Harris have bought every Dumbo.
Chris Hardwick and
thing that they're
and those guys come in. Look, good for them. They got the money. They could spend it.
Oh, here's one of the bells from Train Number 3.
But they thought...
One of the bells from the Disneyland...
I feel like I'd even prove that. I don't know.
From the Disneyland Railroad. It's only $2,600.
That's not bad.
No.
So they thought that his bird was going to go for... 30 to 50,000, I think, was the range. Were you Petey popping over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They thought it was going to be like 30 to 50, because of historically how they gone, and it went for like 20, under 20, I think, right at 20. He was pretty disappointed, and there was a thought process that they have overdone these prop auctions. They've overdone the collector market, much like it happened. And we kind of Dylan and I have talked about this because we're collectors as well. That there's been sort of that dip. So if you are going to get into Disney collecting, it's actually not a horrible time because the prices have kind of cooled a little bit.
Mm.
And I honestly wish that I had paid attention because there was a Mary Blair piece from It's Small World that went for half of what it would have gone normally.
Oh.
Still, it was
all
like...
All that stimulus money's
dried up. It was still like
up.
Five figures, but it wasn't like 50 grand.
Yeah.
It probably was too much still for me, but it was way... I would never even think I would be in the ballpark to get it. So I'm going to actually now... kind of tune back in a little bit to see if
start paying attention
because
again.
I didn't even watch this Van Eaton auction. I thought no, but what would you be, your What would your thing be?
A Dumbo ride vehicle.
Just the Dumbo. That would be cool. That's kind of hard to beat, to be honest.
I mean, who doesn't want that in their man cave? Like, just to...
I mean, that would take up the entire day.
Yeah. Because of the size of your cave, I guess. But that is like a very iconic visual. Like, my there's a lot of things that I want to buy. My wife would probably be like, we're not displaying that in the main house. That can go in your man cave. I'm pretty sure if we had a Dumbo elephant, buggy? She'd be like, let's suspend it from the ceiling. Like, I mean, it would be so cool.
Like it is in One Man's Dream where it hangs.
Because, like, even, like, my things that I love, like the Haunted Mansion, it's like, a Doom Buggy's not that cool looking outside of a...
Outside of the ride.
Outside of the ride. Maybe I'm thinking, like, a prop, though, maybe... And, like, the singing bus, they're projected, and Madame Leota's projected. Like, what could actually... From the Haunted Mansion, not much could stand alone. A Tiki Bird would have been cool, but I don't think cool enough. I'm struggling with this one. The Dreamfinders... there you go, from a retired one... The Dreamfinder's little balloon ship thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And that was on display in Mouse in Gears distance. For a long time. But
Terry, how many of the ride vehicles have there been, though? Is it? Do they replace them very much?
Oh, they come off all the time because they're...
They take them in to repaint.
They take them in to repaint them. And okay. Like, I mean, especially if you think about a ride like Dumbo, you know, there's probably 30 or 40 in every... Park. Just that rotate in and out of the... In and out, so...
Is there a... I mean, I assume there's like a cast for that, like a mold. I kind of would like to see that.
I thought you meant like a cast, like there are people that work on the ride. And it's no, like, you know what yes, I'm saying? You've like ridden it. There are cast members.
Like when they have to make a new one, I want to know what that mold looks
vacuum
like.
Vacuum form.
Huge. Yeah. I don't know. What about Dylan? You got one?
Well, something Splash Mountain.
Oh, you said
for sure. Man, that's now that you're going to have me thinking and searching, AKA you're going to search for me. This anything like Splash Mountain is that was my Landon and Mize ride all like from day one. And then when we went for the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, their like Disney outing, we actually went on and got to go on it the last day, which was insane.
Go to the, what is that antique mall that's in Lakeland?
Yeah.
And a decent amount of stuff. And I would imagine we're about at the time.
It's called the Lakeland Antique Mall. Yeah.
And it's actual stuff.
Yeah, they have a ton of stuff. Some of it's for sale. Some of it's just like, go take a picture, buy it kind of stuff. Because some of it has a price tag, but the prices are insane. But they have a lot of little things you could pick up. A lot of Christmas ornaments,
and
that
like
kind
signs,
of stuff.
Like there's probably some signs from Splash Mountain.
They liquidate to them quite a bit. I'm kind of keeping my eye on any Star Cruiser stuff that may show up in these places. But so far, just merch.
I don't think the Star Cruiser's coming down. I think something's going to...
I mean, they got to replace the sheets at
some
point.
I agree. If it hasn't started and like destructed or deconstructed by now, I think they're going to redo it.
Okay, that's actually interesting. So, two quick things and we'll wrap.
I did find something for Dylan real quick on eBay. It's only $50. It's authentic Splash Mountain water from January 22nd, 2023. So it looks as someone dipped a little jar into the water and tightened it up. So
on the last day.
Is that the last day, the 22nd?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been closed for that long, man. The new one's opening up pretty soon. They got the water
last
flowing.
Last day open. It will be securely packaged and free shipping.
Free shipping.
Just so you know.
Well, that actually brought me to two quick last points. not just about that. Now I lost one of them now after you said that. One's gone from my head. We were there the last day of the Country Bear Jamboree.
Oh.
We did not attend the
did
Country
you get
Bear
a poster
Jamboree.
At the very least?
I did not. But here's why. Because my son and I were debating it. We had just Tron Fast Passes at night, which we'd never done it at night. And we're like, what are we going to do? Should we go do the Country Bear Jamboree? And about 20 minutes before close, the line became enormous.
Ridiculous.
Because everyone was like, I'm going to be at the last show. Maybe my favorite Disney vlogger, because every vlogger was there, moment ever happened, which was... The stinking bears broke down like before the last show.
Yeah.
And they had nothing they could do. And they're like, I'm sorry, the bears, I've gone into permanent hibernation. And then they let them take pictures inside an empty theater. I mean, it's a shame because people were waiting all day, but it was a little bit like Riker and I were at least happy because we didn't get in the line. Because it probably would have been an hour wait for us. It got over an hour for it. But we didn't get to go. We took some pictures outside the front. We had gone a few months before, so it was not that big of a deal. I look forward to the new show. And
We've
last... Oh, sorry, what?
We've never seen it.
Okay. I mean, I think if you were not nostalgic for it,
yeah,
it would probably do little for you. You know, it was fun because it's something we grew up on, but it needs the update. I'll be honest. It needs it. I'm looking forward to a new
version. I've been listening to the playlist on Spotify. Like, somebody's made a playlist of all those songs.
Of the old songs.
Of the old songs, and I'm just like...
It's shocking they were allowed.
How did this last as long as it did?
It's crazy.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, though. It's one of the best movies ever made.
The Country Bears. It's a great movie. It's an unsung hero of the Disney catalog. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus.
Almost Famous for Children.
Is it on Disney Plus?
I don't know. Probably. I would assume.
Look it up. One of y'all look it up. And then last, I did drive past the Star Cruiser, which you can kind of do. But they have, there's still signs that say, go here to the Star Cruiser, which is a little weird, you're right, for Disney to not have taken those signs down.
Right.
Including the big sign out front of the Star Cruiser. So their big pylon sign that says Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, it's still there. And people leave little... in the Star Cruiser, there is a force thing where you went into this climate simulator.
Don't
they called
spoil it.
Well, it's closed now. Well, and you would move rocks. You'd stack rocks. Jedis would teach you how to stack rocks.
Okay.
And then you would move them with your mind.
Oh my gosh.
Very cool moment. Yeah, sure. It's actually an awesome moment in it if you got to do it. Now out front, people are going and stacking rocks.
Yep.
People are freaks.
I love it. I thought it was great. I took a picture. I thought it was great. Country Bears is
on
Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus, yes.
I don't know if it's okay for people to go still buy the Star Cruiser, but no one's stopping you. You can't drive up to the front because that's locked off with a gate, but you could drive by that sign. It's by Cast Parking in the back of Hollywood Studios, but there's still signs that say go here. So I would assume they...
Not a closed road.
No, it's not a closed road. I assume they would be policing it if they cared. So we took a little quick picture at the Star Cruiser and looked at it.
How many of those people that are leaving stacked rocks do you think are cast members?
Probably a lot. Well, probably not. There's probably enough of us crazies.
Did they all get hired back on, do you think?
A lot of them are still working. Yeah. A lot of the people got moved.
And a lot of the people that have entertainment jobs at Disney.
Yeah.
They
were doing other shows.
They were doing other things.
Not totally good.
Someone, though, is hosting, and I talked about this on the Living with the Landspeeder podcast, which if you ever want to go listen to that, it's what if Star Wars attractions were... Or what if Disney attractions were all Star Wars? And I did the Enchanted Tiki Room, and you should go listen to it. It was a lot of fun. Terry's been on it. Our friend Derek Frank, Ryan Street, host it. And it was a lot of fun. But in it, they talked about HalseyCon, which is a Star Cruiser fan convention, and it sold out in about 10 minutes. So you know what?
Wild.
Good for them. I don't think I'll be attending. I couldn't get a ticket. But you know, it is what it is. All right, should we wrap up here, guys?
I think we should. That was a good show, though.
Well, Dylan, thank you for joining us again. You got anything to promote or plug? If you're in the Alabama area tomorrow, go see it.
Pisgah, Alabama.
But you also got the big event coming up.
I have my, in Wisconsin, if you're from the Wisconsin area, Water City Wrestling Con for my company, ACW Wisconsin. We have Dolph Ziggler coming in, Jake the Snake, Jay Lethal, Victoria, Tugboat, Tyler Breeze, Colt Cabana. We're going crazy this year. Leading up to that, March, you know, if you're the WWE's leprechaun, March is always a good month for me. Matt and April are crazy booked, so check out DylanPostel.com. Otherwise, all my socials are at Dylan Postel. It's postal without the A at the end. Dylan Postel on all socials. Check it out. And then the Going Postel podcast, the podcast I do with my producer and co-host, George Feese. We talk about all things my life, my career, and interviews as well. So we'd love you guys to check out this, that podcast, if you're a listener of this one.
Yeah, please check out Going Postel. It's great. And Will just found out you know Dolph Ziggler, and it was kind of a weird moment. Will texted me, do you know he knows Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, I was in the UK, and I posted that photo, and then Will just goes, Will sends it, or someone sent it.
It was me.
And I was like, I didn't know... Will was a huge Dolph Ziggler guy.
Will was original
Dolph Ziggler fan. I don't get my picture with people, but I did with Dolph.
Yeah, we were at meet and greet, and it was like AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler, and he's like, AJ, bah.
He's an incredible wrestler. He's incredible.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just would not have expected it. I would have expected, like, Hercules or something like that, not Dolph Ziggler.
No, he loves Dolph Ziggler.
I always realize you're not that much older than me. So
Dylan, I think we're like months. I think
what
apart.
What year were you born in?
86. Right?
Yeah, but not at heart.
I'm pretty sure we're all like,
yeah, I was born in 86.
Terry's a decade older.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, I think we're all born.
But in my people's, years, I'm essentially older.
Oh no! Oh no!
No, Terry Munson.
Okay, we can't keep going here. It is. That's great. All right, Will, you got anything?
Go follow my fledgling YouTube channel.
Well, it's got a new YouTube channel.
Yeah,
new YouTube channel.
Just me. It's called Whiskey Bugger. It's a little hybrid of fishing and whiskey.
Huh. That's niche.
Whiskey Bugger on YouTube. Since it's been cold out, I haven't really been fishing as much. So got some like fly tying tutorials. Got some fishing videos.
There's a funny video you get rained on.
Yeah, that's a little short.
Yeah,
for reels. Check it out at Whiskey Bugger on YouTube. Give it a sub. I'd appreciate it.
Weave.
Oh man, we got Dylan coming up on the Making Elephants Fly podcast soon, sure. And this week's episode is my friend Liz Wilcox, who's on
Survivor
season 46 and the Nami tribe. She spoke.
Who? Who?
Liz Wilcox is.
Yeah.
Liz is one of our friends.
She's in my draft.
Huh?
She's my pick in my draft. Oh. I do a Survivor draft. She's my pick.
Oh. Yeah.
Well.
Well, I hope
you learn something new every day. Dylan Postel does a Survivor draft.
Yeah.
Dylan Postel, big Survivor guy.
Liz is a good friend, and she spoke at almost everything.
Yeah,
since.
I mean, I've been around.
Liz is Dylan's Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. So
we got to make that connection. We got to get her on the Postel podcast. Yeah.
She'll do it. Liz is good people. Yeah, and we got the thing coming up, Thing Events, about to unleash tickets on folks at the thing.live.
Cool.
And we're going back to the Thing Nashville. We're going back to the Savannah Bananas in June. And so
that'd be a lot of fun.
Lots of fun things coming up for.
And then for me, obviously, if you're looking for a place to stay, still got that Airbnb, Airbnb.com. We got some availability coming up, even just starting in April. So if you're looking for a place, we're booked all through March. Summer is still pretty wide open. So if you're looking for a great place, like I always say, click that contact button. You can make your booking all you want through the website, but I always try to do at least something special, or at least at minimum say thank you for listening to WDW today. So make sure you do that on Airbnb.com, your Orlando area vacation rental. Sorry about the resort fee, but it is what it is. Terry's shaking his head. It's part of the deal.
No, it's Reunion Resort. I get it.
That's their deal.
And interesting. You get something with that. You get the water park.
You get the water park. You get access to golf. You get a lot.
You
of
get
things.
A real yeah. Nice parking pass when you go through the gate.
You do get a parking pass. Free park. They are offering Disney shuttles now.
Oh, okay.
They are a little. They're like $2.
Oh.
Okay. And you can reserve your time. So you reserve a time. You get like $2 for a ticket, and you can go there. They also now just launched an Uber service that's within. Just for the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
So if you're trying to get to like the water park, you don't want to take your car, you can call up one of their Ubers, and I think it's very inexpensive, if not free.
Those are pretty good perks.
It's cool. Take a look at it at Airbnb.com. Reach out, contact me. I can't wait to get back. I'm not planning. I right now don't have a trip until June, which is a bummer. Dylan, you're going soon, right? You're going a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're going. I was actually going to say that we're going the first week of May. So between now and then, I would love to. Love to sit down, the four of us, and record another episode for some tips of my upcoming trip, and that kind of thing.
We'll do it. We'll keep it going. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
is that 3 months from now?
Yeah. People say consistency is key, and quarterly seems about right.
Yeah, as long as you're consistently quarterly, who's going to complain about that?
Because we've been doing this show now for 8 years. I think the three of us.
Yeah.
And the show has been on for 19 years. So you know what?
My goal is just to have been doing it longer than the original crew.
We're getting close.
I know.
I think we're 2 years from
I know.
Then.
So we got to do it.
So that's 8 episodes. That's it. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, what's the harm in that?
All right. Let's wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Dylan.
And we'll see you on the next show.